From Spark and Anvil and Civic Forge, this is Cordis in Chapter 1 of the Civic Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The room in the old meadow hall had started to get loud, and Cordis was already carrying in the tea things. She was a badger tween, small and neat, with soft charcoal stripes across warm cream fur. She wore a plain vest and a slightly crooked bow tie. In her paws, she balanced a tray of mismatched cups, one tall and blue, one squat and green, one chipped and orange, and she set them down in the center of the arguing table like she was laying out a picnic. Two young rabbits were shouting about where to put the new garden. One wanted it by the creek, one wanted it by the hill. Neither was listening.
"You never think about the flooding," the creek rabbit snapped.
"You never think about anything,"
the hill rabbit snapped back.
Cordis slid a cup toward each of them. "Different cups," she said, calm as warm bread. "Same table. Room enough for both," she poured. "Now, you can argue as hard as you like about the garden, but we don't argue about each other." The creek rabbit blinked. "What's the difference?"
"The garden's the idea," Cordis said. "You two are the people. I keep the people safe so the idea can get a real fight."
She sat down between them, unhurried. "Tell me about the flooding, not about who forgets things." And slowly, because someone had made the room feel steady, the shouting turned back into talking.
Cordis had grown up in a burrow at the edge of the same meadow, in a family of badgers who called themselves Long Hosts. For as many winters as anyone could remember, their door had stayed open, to travelers, to neighbors, to whoever wandered in cold and cross. Her grandmother ran the burrow with two rules, and only two. Keep the table set, keep the room safe. "A guest can be as wrong as they please," her grandmother would say, ladling soup, "so long as nobody at my table stops being a guest." Young Cordis watched arguments spark up over that table her whole childhood, about weather, about roots, about whose berries were whose. Some nights the voices got very big, but her grandmother never told anyone to quiet down. She refilled cups, she caught eyes, she'd say gently, "Tell them why you think it, not why they're foolish for not." And the big voices would find their way back to the idea, and by morning the guests would leave as friends. One night, a traveler she'd never met said something Cordis thought was flat wrong, and Cordis, only 7, opened her mouth to call the traveler a fool. Her grandmother's paw landed soft on hers. "Fight the thought," she murmured, "never the guest." Cordis fought the thought instead. It was harder. It was also, she discovered, the only kind of fighting that ever changed anyone's mind.
When Cordis was 12, she walked the long meadow path to the youth council for the first time. Her mentor, Liberty, met her at the door of the council hall, where inside the voices were already climbing. "They argue in there," Liberty said, loudly. "Sometimes it curdles, turns into who's a bad person instead of whose plan is better. I need someone who can hold the room." Cordis peeked in. A dozen young animals, red in the face, jabbing paws at each other.
"What would you do?" Liberty asked, "with a room like that?" Cordis thought about the soup and the open door and her grandmother's paw on hers.
"Set the table," she said. "Make it safe to be wrong out loud. Keep them fighting the plans, not each other." She looked up. "You can be as passionate as you want at my table. Passion isn't rude. Meanness is. I keep the meanness out, so the passion has somewhere to go." Liberty smiled and held the door open for her. "The room's yours," she said. Cordis walked in, set down her tray of mismatched cups, and the shouting, curious, began to slow.
In Cordis's corner of the council hall, the cups gleamed on their small round table, and a young student named Pip came to her red-eyed and frustrated after losing an argument. "Squeak said my bridge idea was flimsy," Pip said. "So I said her ideas were always flimsy, and now she won't talk to me." Cordis nodded and set out two cups. "Let's try it again, but this time I'm at the table." She fetched Squeak,
who came in with her arms crossed. "Pip," Cordis said, "tell us what's wrong with the bridge. The bridge, not Squeak." Pip took a breath. "It's too long. It uses up the strong branches we need for winter nests." "Good," said Cordis. "Squeak, questions about the bridge? Real ones. The kind that want an answer, not the kind that want to win." Squeak uncrossed her arms a little. "How many branches do you think? What kind?" Pip told her. Squeak actually listened. Cordis watched her listen. Then Squeak explained her side. "Lighter vines, not branches, and a shorter route to the berry bushes." Pip opened his mouth to jump in, but vines won't. Cordis lifted one paw, gentle. "Let her finish, Pip. Her turn." Pip closed his mouth. He waited. It cost him something, and he did it anyway. When Squeak was done, they still disagreed. Pip still thought the bridge was a bad plan. Squeak still thought it was a good one. But they were arguing about the bridge now, about branches and vines and winter nests, not about who was flimsy. "See," Cordis said softly, "nobody agreed. Nobody had to. You just stayed people to each other the whole way through. That's the whole trick." Pip looked at Squeak. "Sorry I said your ideas are always flimsy." "They're not always," Squeak admitted. "Your bridge one kind of is, though." Pip laughed. So did Squeak.
They left together, still arguing about the garden bridge, shoulders loose, bumping each other on the way out the door. Cordis gathered the mismatched cups back onto her tray. Tall blue, squat green, chipped orange, all of them still full, all of them still whole. She wiped the small round table clean and set it for whoever came next. A younger animal by the door watched her, puzzled. "You didn't fix their argument." "No," Cordis agreed. "Arguments don't need fixing. They need somewhere safe to happen." She tucked the last cup away. "My grandmother taught me that. Keep the table set. Keep the room safe. The rest sorts itself out." She looked at the empty, ready table, and that warm, easy quiet spread through her chest. The settled, glad feeling you get when two people have been heard all the way down and walked away friends. She breathed it in, shoulders loose, and let herself just sit in it a moment before the next voices came.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Cordis. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.